maybe we'll pull through the line of. The people are feeling so happy today. Can we close the door? Those who are outside can stay outside. We will start the meeting.
To help the kids to do the arrangements for the funeral.
And that's why he was staying and went to Eastern, came to East London. I'm sure it's not here. I think that in the other portfolio committee. Those are the members who are part of this portfolio committee. I think we must do the introduction. My name is Linda Moss. I'm the whip of the portfolio committee. Over to you, Tata Mabonza.
To the committee.
Presenting its annual document. what the planning project estimate. So we've been waiting for this DG, and thank you for the documents that maybe for the first time came in advance. I was able to read them over the weekend. Thank you, Minister, that you are here, because I sent a message that if you are not coming, then Umshambi won't give our call with our hands, because this is the most important time of our budget vote. And I don't think we have to dwell much on this, as the members will just hear the presentations, will read the documents, and I believe the senior managers are here. I just came in to present such issues. If you want to discuss issues. Okay. Oh, then so we should. So, Babukala, nendoya kuhlala ku iPhone iyazi lo. Sekukhulunywa ngayo kwelinye ilizwe. Bathi unendlebe eziyi-5. Ngizokutshela one big share. Did you will give over to you, Minister, Nairobi Commission, awuhambi namhlanje. You are bounded until we finish, unless you keep it jojo. Otherwise, it doesn't mean that now DJ you must have so that your minister can run away. Tell him for the meeting, we've got permission to sit and deal beyond so that we can finalize the thing before the budget vote. Yeah. The members of the media here? Okay, you are safe. Thank you, over to you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you once again for the opportunity to present to the committee our annual performance plan as well as our budget estimates for the 2013-14 financial year, which is Board 14. Perhaps before I start, Chair, let me just make two apologies. The first apology is that there are a few members of our management team who have not arrived yet, who are going to join us a bit late. Apparently, the 6 o'clock SAA flight could not land in Cape Town due to visibility and was rerouted to George. So they are on their way from George to Cape Town. They called me this morning when they were in George saying they're going to arrive a bit late. So they will join us. During the course of the morning. No, in fact, they just couldn't land here because of visibility, so they landed in Georgia. No, it's SAA's expedition. So I suspect when they come to report, they may report these kinds of things. But that's another matter of check. The second apology is that I've made a couple of changes on the presentation. It's not substantial changes, but it might just change the order of the slides. I thought there are certain things that we needed to contextualize, Chair. My apologies for that. We have given copies to the Secretary of the Committee, so if needs be, we can make those copies available. Chair, let me also introduce particularly Monica Newton, who is joining us for the first time in this particular way. Monica has been to the committee before while she was still with the NEC, and she has now been appointed DDG for Arts Development and Promotion in the department. So she's here in that capacity as the DDG responsible for that branch in the department. The rest of the colleagues, I believe the committee knows. If I may get to the presentation, Chair, this is the outline of the presentation. We're just going to outline a means of objective and context of representation, and then we'll get on the strategic overview, the goals, the objectives, and the programs. Then we're going to touch on how we link this program, I mean, our APP with other plans, particularly the plans of our public entities. Then we're going to get to the budget, the summary of our budget, some of the adjustments that have been made through the MTM, as well as how the budget gets distributed amongst the different programs. Chair, let me also say that there is a separate presentation which at the end of the meeting we'd like to bring the committee on, which is the presentation on our sector-wide learning program. I think it's important that the committee gets a sense of this, because what we are doing, what we're introducing this year, is much more coherent planning with our institutions, so that our APP is reflective of the entire group in the first instance. But secondly, that is coherent between ourselves, our institutions, as well as provinces, because our programs are interdependent. Within that, there is quite a strong role for the portfolio committee, so that the portfolio committee has an engagement with the department before our APP even gets approved, gets even submitted to Treasury. So if the chair would allow it, at the end of the discussions, we'd like to just take the committee through that. Briefly, the objective of this presentation is to brief the committee on our annual performance plan as well as our budget estimate for the 2013 financial year. But also, we believe that this should guide the monitoring of the department's performance for this financial year, as well as to inform and guide the preparations of the department's budget vote. We are preparing for the vote on the 16th, so really this guides the discussions towards the vote. Just to place this in context, Chair, our APP has been prepared within the context of the government planning management evaluation system. It is informed by the medium-term strategic framework of government, which is a five-year strategic plan of the term of government, and it draws from the ministers, delivery agreement outcome 12. Whilst outcomes 12, which deals with an empowered and active citizenship and deals with social cohesion and nation building, whilst that is our main outcome, we contribute to a number of other outcomes. We contribute towards education. We contribute towards job creation. We contributed in different ways to a number of other outcomes. But our basis really is from outcome 12B, which is the basis of the minister's service delivery agreement. We also aligned with the state of the nation as well as the budget speech. So I think it's important to make this point, because it's very much on our minds as we prepare the APP, that this is the final year of this term of government. So we are focusing our APP on completing the mandate. You would notice that there are very few new things that we're introducing this financial year. We are focusing on completing the mandate. But also, we begin to focus on how we celebrate the 20 years of freedom and the youth planning which is underway about that. We will speak about that at a later stage, and I'm sure the minister will speak more about that during the vote. But also we are working together with the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation on a 20-year review of government performance, whilst at the same time we are doing our own end-of-term report. So as part of our evaluation process, we are looking at where the sector has come from over the last 20 years of democracy, but also we are looking at what we have done in the department in the last 5 years. the groundwork of planning for the next 5 years. Now, the strategic overviews, the department and the strategic posture, our vision, you can't hear.
Sorry, Chairperson, I was just looking, I can't find on my, is that the things you've changed? Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, thank you. But on this point, Chairperson, I would like to also, we will get this, because it's important stuff.
Thank you, Oh, Johnny, do you want to make copies for me, but just in the issue, and she will get a copy. She, Johnny, thanks.
And my apologies for those two slides. Our vision is that we are thriving arts, culture, and heritage sector, contributing to sustainable economic development and leveraging on partnerships for a socially cohesive nation. And I believe that this comes through in our vision statement, that we view the arts and culture as contributing towards sustainable economic development as well as social cohesion. So those really are the two things that we believe we bring to the table in a meaningful way. Our mission is to enhance job creation by preserving, protecting, and developing the arts, culture, and heritage to sustain our democracy and build our nation. Our values is accountability, both to the legislature and through the legislature to the people of the country, but also accountability to other authorities that we report to. Integrity, doing our business in a way that is integrity, both within government as well as with the public that we deal with. We want to be results driven. We don't want to be activity driven, but want to our business to prove through results. Professionalism in the way that we deal with the public, humility, as well as placing people first through budget being. Our strategic goals are to create jobs, to develop human capital, access to information, linguistic diversity, the development, protection, and preservation, and promotion of arts, culture, and heritage, as well as governance and accountability. Governance and accountability is quite an important goal to us, particularly given the number of entities and the amount of money that gets spent by the department through our entities. So the governance is an extremely important element to the work that we do. Our mandate derives from a number of laws, and these are the laws that specifically guide the work that we do, from the Constitution, specifically Section 16 and Section 30, and then there are a whole lot of laws. Some are specific for certain instances like the NFBF, the NHC, SARA, PANSAL, the Geographic Names Council, and so forth. Others are general laws like the Cultural Institutions Act, the Cultural Promotions Act, and there are acts that deal with the management of information, libraries, legal depository. Then there are archives, and then there is an act dealing with heraldry. These are the acts that we implement and we exercise oversight over our institutions on. Obviously, Chair, there would be the acts that applies across the public service generally, like the PFMA, like the provision of the promotion of access to information, like the Public Service Act, but these are specifically for our department. We also draw our mandate through some of the legislative and policy instruments which are currently under review. The White Paper on Arts and Culture is currently under review. There is a draft of the reviewed White Paper which we are busy discussing between ourselves and our institutions, and we will take that to the sector, and once that has been done, we'll bring that to the committee. The Cultural Laws Amendment Bill is going to be introduced later this year. The Community Library Commission Bill is currently being hosted and will be introduced later this year, as well as the South African Language Practitioners Bill is going to be on its way to Parliament as well. Now, a bit of a situation analysis of our performance environment. On developing, promoting, and preserving arts and culture in the sanitary sector, we developed, approved, and we continue to implement the Golden Economy. We developed new audiences and markets, and we'll speak a bit about that. We continue to contribute to job creation and economic growth. We continue to facilitate access to international networking platforms as well as international markets for local artists. And we continue to empower targeted and vulnerable groups such as women, youth, and people with disability. In preserving and promoting heritage, we are preparing a strategy for the celebration and commemoration of national days to ensure that such events are inclusive and contributes to national reconciliation, nation building, and social cohesion. One of the things that happened over the last year is that Cabinet mandated the department to be responsible for all national days. In the past, we were responsible for Freedom Day, Heritage Day, as well as the Day of Reconciliation. Cabinet has mandated us to coordinate all national days. Now, part of what we are doing in this regard is to develop a strategy about then how do we position the national days so that we make them as diverse and as inclusive as possible, at the same time to reach as many of our members of our society as we possibly can. We continue to implement the national heritage route, the national liberation heritage route. We work in transforming the national symbols to reflect the values of our democracy, and we continue to provide funding for our cultural institutions, who then use that funding to implement a range of programs that reflect our heritage and our history. And in promoting access to information, we ensure that the National Archives and Record Service continues to support and guide record and information management procedures across government. And a very important element of what archives do, apart from collecting and being a depository of government information, is to make that available to citizens that require that information, either for research, academic research, for study, for publications, but also just for personal information. We ensure that the National Automated Archival Information Retrieval System is upgraded and is functional, and we'll continue to focus on revitalizing the country's community libraries, as well as creating new libraries where they are not available. And we'll speak about some interesting things in the library program a bit later on. In promoting linguistic diversity, we promote the development of official languages and tolerance for South African linguistic diversity, and we are currently in the process of finalizing the South African Language Practitioners Bill. And in promoting good governance and accountability, we intensify our oversight and monitoring role over the institutions and entities that are under our vote. Most of the time, when we come to the portfolio committee, we come to speak about entities. And it's important that we've got a good handle on things that happen within our entities, and we are able to account to the House on what happens there, and we are able to be quite clear about those kinds of things. We ensure alignment of planning processes through the implementation of an integrated planning framework between ourselves and our entities. In developing human capital, we improve efforts directed at developing the whole life cycle of individual artists, cultural workers, and including supporting existing artists and the development of new artists. It's important that the development of artists is not just about the arts only. It is important that artists are good at their art, but there are other skills that artists need if they are going to thrive. They need business skills, they need administration skills, and what we try to do is to close that entire loop through an entire life cycle training and support to artists. We also contribute to skills development through our programs, including the provision of bursaries, particularly in areas where there is a limitation of skills. We will unveil the details of the establishment of the National Council of Industries NACISA at the end of this financial year, and we are aligning our structure with our new strategy and our available budget. You will notice, Chair, that currently we've got the six programs. There is going to be a change in our budget structure next financial year, in the year 2014-2015. In order to align that with our structure, we have already made the necessary submissions to Treasury, and they're in the process of approving that, so that we've got a lot greater alignment next financial year between the budget and the organizational structure. On the infrastructure provision, we've realized that demand-driven investment in cultural infrastructure will ensure the state's creative spaces remain accessible, functional, and lively places for artists and communities. We continue to provide infrastructure in areas where it is needed, so that all South Africans have a reasonable opportunity to access the arts, both as audiences, but also as practitioners themselves. And on partnerships and funding, we are working to drive the agenda of cultural diplomacy in international relations and to expand South Africa's network with the world through strategic relations with various countries in Africa as well as across the world. Now, Chair, if I may move to our strategic goals. These are some of our goals. We want to create jobs. We want to create 1,500 decent jobs in the arts, culture, and heritage by March 2016. Why March 2016? Because that is linked to we introduced the global economy in March 2011, and we had 5-year targets, and that's what we want to do. We remain committed to those targets, and we are monitoring the job yields of the programs that we are doing. On human capital development, we're implementing targeted programs that are geared towards developing human capital in the arts, culture and heritage sector. We enhance access to information by citizens and public institutions, information that is accurate and reliable and timely in the language of their choice through archives, libraries, as well as the language services. And the use of official languages Act is quite an important element of this, how people can access government information in the language of their choice. We also entrench linguistic diversity in a manner that facilitates an equitable cultural expression by citizens and communities. And on protection and preservation of the arts, culture, and heritage, to enhance the capacity of the sector through equitable and sustainable development, protection and preservation of arts, culture, and heritage. And we do that through policy, through legislation, as well as implementation. We align the public sector arts, culture, and heritage institutions around a shared vision, common mandate, and strong governance and accountability. We provide for a capable and skilled public-oriented workforce internally within the DAC. We develop systems and processes and controls to ensure operational efficiency and effectiveness. We maintain an effective and efficient ministry. We provide for arts, culture, and heritage infrastructure, and that society institutions, through to heritage institutions, as well as supporting infrastructure in the precincts that we are currently working on across the country. We coordinate and lead in the implementation of the social cohesion framework. The country last year agreed on a particular framework on social cohesion based on the summit that we had. We continue to provide leadership and coordination, but I must hasten to say that social cohesion is not just a business of this department. It's a government-wide business. In fact, it goes beyond government and it's a societal issue. And if it's going to happen effectively, it's got to be driven at all those levels. However, what we do is to provide coordination and some leadership to make sure that it does happen. We promote the public profile of the department and its programs through various communication programs. We strengthen partnerships with the department's associated institutions as well as our provinces. We implement programs that promote socioeconomic development for targeted groups, particularly youth, women, and people with disabilities. We increase the participation and access to arts and culture programs by targeted youth. We promote language diversity and equity, and we provide for specialized availability for all official languages. We build capacity in language practice, particularly through the BASAL program. We enhance access to information through translation and editing. We enhance access to information through the development of human language technology tools. Some interesting programs are going to be launched this year on human language technology. In fact, last year we entered into an agreement with the CSIR on a formation of a center specializing on human language technology through the use of cell phone technology. Some very exciting things that I think Dr. Chukwueni would provide a bit of detail on human language technology. We support the implementation of programs in the job creation. We develop coherent and integrated 5-year sector-specific strategies and implementation plans aligned to development of micro-policy and micro-policy interventions. That's what I'm going to speak about later. We review the cultural industry's growth strategy. We support programs in the cultural industries with improve infrastructure as distribution channels for the creative industry products. We develop and implement a dedicated academy to support scouts and critical skills in the creative sector. We develop a coherent and integrated research agenda and knowledge management system for the sector. And we build key strategic relations aimed at exposing South African arts, culture, and heritage to the international community. We also build strategic relations aimed at exposing we harmonize international and domestic policy that seeks to protect and promote arts, culture, and heritage. We provide policy leadership for effective and efficient management of South Africa's heritage and heraldry. We transform the country's heritage and heraldry landscape through targeted programs, particularly capacitating our citizens about the use of our national symbols and how to use them properly. We establish strategic partnerships to leverage resources for maximum impact of programs. We are working quite hard to form meaningful partnerships with other people that provide funding for the sector, particularly the private sector, as well as the distribution boards, the national lotteries distribution board, who provide quite a lot of money to the sector. It's important that that money is geared towards the achievement of specific policy objectives, and that is what we are busy trying to work with them on. We promote national identity, nation building, and social cohesion through our heritage as well as heritage programs. We create jobs, we regulate the management of records across public service, and we provide adequate and modern infrastructure for archives and libraries. Now, once again, a couple of slides which might not be on the initial thought it's important to take the members through some of the key targets and program. The program one on administration, on enhancing governance and accountability. Some of the strategic goals is to provide for a capable and skilled public-oriented workforce, to develop systems for processes and controls to ensure operational efficiency and effectiveness, the maintenance of the ministry, the provision of infrastructure, social cohesion framework. On enhancing access to information, we profile the department through communication and we strengthen partnerships. Program 2, job creation, we implement programs that promote socio-economic development for targeted groups, and we increase the participation and access to arts and culture programs by targeted groups. For program 3, the National Language Service, we promote linguistic diversity and equity, provide specialized terminologies on all local official languages, particularly in areas like HIV and AIDS, in areas of human development. We build capacity in language practice through our BASEL program. We enhance access to information through translation and editing, and we provide for AI human language technology tools. Program 4, job creation, through the support and implementation of programs aimed at job creation. We develop coherent integrated 5-year sector specific strategies and implement plans that are aligned. There's going to be a review of the cultural industries growth strategy. Support to programs in the cultural industries across the board, from music to fashion to jewelry making, right across the entire spectrum of cultural industries. We improve infrastructure as channels for creative industries. The development of the academy in Akiza, as well as the development of a coherent research agenda and knowledge management system for the sector. Program 4, continuing, we build strategic relations aimed at exposing South African arts, culture, and heritage to the international community, which is our IR program, and we harmonize our international policy to protect arts, culture, and heritage. Program 5, which is heritage promotion, we provide leadership for effective and efficient management of our heritage and heraldry. We transform South Africa's heritage landscape through targeted programs, particularly telling some of the untold stories of our history. Generally, our heritage has been skewed for many years, and a big part of what we are trying to do is to correct the record of history and tell sides of our story that have never been told. We establish strategic partnerships to leverage resources for maximum impact of our programs. We build capacity and health skills development for the heritage sector. We promote national identity, nation building, as well as social cohesion through our heritage programs, and we also create jobs in heritage and in heraldry. Program 6, which is archives, we regulate the management of archives and records across the public service, and we provide adequate and modern infrastructure for archives and libraries. In terms of archives, that's the national archives. Provinces are responsible for the provision of provincial archives, but also we provide infrastructure for libraries across the board. Some of our indicators, we have a total of 157 indicators, which is a whole lot. We are not going to go through all of them here, but we have selected some of the key indicators for each program. The indicators that appear on the estimates of national expenditure are published by the National Treasury, and they are the basis on which National Treasury measures us. If you look at the budget book, the ENE, you'll notice that we've got about 7 or 8 indicators there, which is what how National Treasury is measuring us. And we are required to also helps with the streamlining of our reporting. And obviously, the committee in our discussions, we can add some of the things that we have placed into our political content throughout the year. And specific targets for this financial year, the number of arts practitioners that will be placed in schools, we're going to be placing 150 artists who are going to be teaching children arts education. And that contributes towards job creation and human capital development. And that contributes towards, to job creation, to education, and so forth, some of the government indicators. The number of public projects which are going to be supported, performing arts public projects, are 9. The number of jobs that are going to be created through partnerships and touring ventures, 1,150. Number of organizations that will be trained in cultural events management, we're going to train 5 organizations. Number of language practice bursaries that are going to be awarded, 280 bursaries this year. The number of poles and flags installed that are going to be installed in schools, 2,500 across the country. The number of handheld flags which are distributed each year, 100,000 flags are going to be distributed. The number of heritage projects which are going to be supported this year is 2. Number of bursaries in heritage studies that will be awarded, 106. Number of jobs that will be awarded, specifically the heritage sector, 7,500. And most of those jobs are construction jobs in the construction of our heritage infrastructure. Number of community libraries that will be upgraded this year, 40. The number of new community libraries that are going to be built across the provinces, 16. Number of cultural events that will be supporting, that will be supported, 39, and these are right across all of the provinces. Number of touring ventures that will be supported are 5. The number of jobs that will be created through specifically the arts programs are 9,832, and that's the MGE target. And indicators per program, our vacancy rate, we want to reduce our vacancy rate to less than 10%. The number of females at SMS, we want them to be 50%. You can see here that we are still a bit challenged in relation to that, but we are getting better. Though we have not reached that, we want to reach that target at 50% this year. The number of people with disabilities, want 2% of our workforce to be made up of people with disabilities. We want to maintain an unqualified audit opinion, and we want a 100% payment of all service providers within 30 days. There's been a very big push from the President, from Treasury and Economic Development to maintain the 30-day payment system, because it's important for the support of small businesses. We want to hold 20 Izindizos this year, speaking with communities, explaining our programs and how communities can access our programs. And the way that we are doing our Izindizos is that it's not just a meeting. It becomes a center of service delivery, because we bring our entities that provide funding, that provide different services into those communities. And we are targeting particularly communities that do not have ready access to those kinds of services. On social cohesion, we are printing a number of manuals to help municipalities, to help civil society, as well as provinces on social cohesion. And we will be printing 15,000 of those and circulating them. And we are going to continue with our community dialogues. 30 of them are going to be held across the country this year. On program 2, the number of bursaries that we're going to award to youth in community-based organizations and high schools are 20. The number of arts and culture trendsetters which are going to take place in Proverbs 66. On problem 3, we are going to pass the South African Language Practitioners Council Act. It's currently being certified by the state advisors, and that's going to be introduced this year. And the number of persons that have spoken about that. On program 4, 18,000 short-term jobs through cultural events. The National Arts is going to be established this year. We are going to launch the social enterprise portal. The KISA is going to be established. The Cultural Observatory mapping studies are currently being done, and that is going to be established as well. I must just add to that we are also working with the UNESCO Statistical Data Office in Canada to have our observatory producing the information into their according to their standards as well. On strategic relations of exposing South African arts and culture and heritage, we are going to have a number of, four continental events that we are going to participate in that specifically in Africa. We are going to push for the approval of the African Cultural Renaissance, the Charter for African Cultural Renaissance. Our framework for overseas development assistance is going to be approved, and we want to approve our policy framework for international relations and then incorporate cultural diplomacy. We are realizing, Chair, through experiences that cultural diplomacy is an important element of our the so-called fourth leg of international diplomacy. And if we structure it appropriately, and I know that the minister has very strong views about how we are going to structure this, if we structure it appropriately, we can achieve a lot of goodwill across the world, at the same time open new opportunities and new markets for our South African art and culture. This year we are going to continue with the French season. We have just the minister entered into an MOU, was it last week, with the British High Commission on with the British. We are finalizing arrangements towards the season with China. We are finalizing arrangements towards the season with Russia, as well as one African country during the course of this year. And really that is beginning to be our cultural diplomacy in action. And we believe that these are important. You've noticed, Chair, that we are, apart from the French and the British season, we are targeting our partners in the BRICS countries as well as an African country. On transforming our heritage landscape, a number of figures projects are true. A number of flags that will be installed in schools, 2,500, and number of bursaries awarded are 106. Number of library materials that will be purchased by provinces, 350,000. Number of libraries that are going to be built, 16, and number of libraries that are going to be maintained and upgraded, 40. Now, how does this link to to other plans? The first thing that we link to, obviously, is the library, the community library grant. You will see, Chair, that as when we get to the budget, because of the success of this program, Treasury has decided that they are going to recapitalize the community library grant. And you'll notice that, particularly in the outer years, we've got 1.1 billion rand extra throughout the MTF to accelerate the implementation of the library grant, which is good news for the sector, which is good news for the education sector in particular, because we have an agreement with the Department of Basic Education that we will build our libraries in such a way that kids have access to them and they have the material that is relevant for school-going learners to use, and it's going to be beneficial for them in their education system. That really is the link to the library grant. And then, Chair, there's a number of our institutions you would notice we've got a total of 6 performing arts institutions: Artscape, Market Theatre, NAC is not necessarily a performing arts institution, Parkoffs, the KZN Playhouse Company, the State Theatre, as well as Wendy Brown. All of these are cultural our theatres that we are supporting, and these are the budgets that we are giving to them. You notice, in fact, we'll get to the budget later, because we do get into quite a bit of detail about the budget. Then the NFBF, which supports film, and that is their budget. Heritage institutions, there is a whole lot of those. And you would notice, Chair, and this is something that we had a bit of a discussion on, the budgets for our cultural institutions vary quite widely. You've got an institution like Isidro Museum, which has, Freedom Park has 66 million rand, and you've got an institution like Luton Museum, which has 7 million rand. A number of things which impact on that. The first one is the extent of the institutions. Some of the institutions are small, almost house museums, with limited staff, playing an important role, but they are small institutions. Some of the institutions are large, and they, if you look at particularly Isidro Museum, and in the next slide you will also see the Tone Museum. Those are flagship museums. We've combined a number of small museums, incorporated them into one big institution. That really explains the large differences between the budget institutions. The NHC, which is the funding body, gets 52 million. Then you've got the National Museum and the other. I'm not really going to go through all of them because we'll come back to all of these. You'll notice, Chair, that most of the museums, their function is the same. It's the collection, the conservation, research of collection, design-relevant exhibition, which support the institution in its, and support the institution's outreach programs. That's what all museums do. And I mean, those are the consistent across. There's SARA, which delivers on the heritage conservation and management mandate in terms of the Heritage Resources Act. And then there are the libraries, which we support, the National Library, as well as the South African Library for the Blind, specifically the South African Library for the Blind, which provides a National Library Information Service to serve blind and print handicapped readers in South Africa. A very unique institution. I must mention, Chair, that we completed in the last financial year a research into play production, which is amongst its recommendations, recommending that we continue and expand support for the South African Library for the Blind, as well as working with the Department of Basic Education, as well as the Department of Women, Children, People with Disabilities, expand braille production facilities in South Africa, because there has been a problem in the production of braille. So we are going to be taking the strategy through to Cabinet and we'll brief the committee on that later on. And then there's PANSAL, which promotes multilingualism in South Africa, and that is what we give to them. Chair, if I may now get into the budget. There was a particular focus this financial year, and the focus from National Treasury was that we begin to reprioritize our budget and identify savings. And what National Treasury did is they came to us, they say, we want across government to save in the first year of the NTF 1%, 2% in the second year, and 3% of your budget. National Treasury did not say where there was money, where we should come from. They gave it to us, they said, you see how you work this one out. We have tried to work on details of the budget is that we have decided to absorb as much of the cuts ourselves. Yes, it does affect two or three of the institutions, but we have tried to absorb all of those internally so that our institutions are not impacted upon. We have tried not to cut infrastructure budgets because those are that's where we make a lot of our that's where we make a lot of jobs, and that's where we make a lot of impact. We have tried not to cut program funding so that we do not compromise the programs for the sector. So what we have done effectively, Chase, is that most of the cuts have come from our operational budgets. We've cut a bit of goods and services. We've cut a bit of operational funding in various ways. That's what we've really tried to do. And this is our budget across the six programs for the next couple of financial years. Just as a matter of context, we've added what the budget was for the last financial year. The last financial year, our budget was 2.67 billion rand. This financial year grows to 2.9, and the growth really happened across all the programs almost equitably. The one program that has grown most substantially in this chain is program 4, which is cultural development, and that's mainly because of the growth of the MGE programs. But the rest of the programs grow proportionally, and it grows to 3.9 million rand. You'd notice there's quite a big jump between 13-14 and 14-15 from 2.9 to 3.5 and from 3.5 to 3.9 in 14, I mean between 14-15 and 15-16. The biggest growth in that grant, I mean in our budget, is the library grant, the 1.1 billion rand that I was speaking about earlier on. That's where our budget is a big jump. Our compensation of employees, you notice, Chair, that it grows very modestly. We have not added a lot of money. We would have loved to add a lot of money for greater capacity, but we don't have the space to do that. Our goods and services, which includes MGE funding, is growing modestly as well. The conditional grant, that's where the big growth happens in 2014 and 2015 and 2016. Our agencies, modest growth throughout. We've tried to grow our capital works budget, and that's where we pay for our infrastructure. Our funding of non-profit institutions remains growing very modestly. And you will see that there's a bit of a drop in our household funding. That's where some of the cuts come from, and that is where we are transferring a lot of the programs to be funded to MGE so that we maintain the programs even though we have experienced budget cuts. Capital assets, a small budget which grows very modestly in order to take care of things like equipment and IT and all of that. Now, the split within the department, 23% of our budget is spent within the department. That covers our goods and services, covers our remuneration of employees, it covers capital works budget, it covers the whole thing. 77% of our budget is spent outside. That's all the money that goes to our entities. Now, on this slide, Chase, you see the importance of governance. If our governance and our monitoring and evaluation systems don't work, we have put 2.2 billion rand of our budget at risk. If you are unable to monitor the work that our institutions do, that's the kind of risk that we are taking. Part of the work that we are doing this year is to see how to rethink the way that our institutions are done. We just have far too many institutions. It's increasingly unworkable. You cannot manage in excess of 28 institutions on a monthly basis, on a quarterly basis. It's just too many. We've got to reduce the number without necessarily introducing the services that they do. So we are working out a model in which we can reduce the number of institutions without compromising service delivery. Of followed by the conditional grant for libraries, which is 21%, followed by capital works, which is our infrastructure money, which is 18%, followed by goods and services, which is 16%, then compensation is 7%, our household budget is 3%, and our capital works, as well as the amounts that we make available to non-profit institutions, very small amounts, which are less than 8%. And within DAC, the money that we spend within DAC, how is that going to be spent? 70% of that goes to our goods and services, and only 29% goes to our compensation, and 1% goes to our capital assets. And outside DAC, most of the money is in the subsidies to our entities, 46%, and 27% is the conditional grant for libraries. 23% is capital works, which is the money that we build and maintain and upgrade our infrastructure with. 4% is money that goes to households and non-profit institutions. That's again a very small amount, which is less than 1% of the budget. And how have we filled that in the cuts? Through the MTEF, you've noticed, Chair, that we have received, this financial year, we have received an addition of 22 million rands, and this is when it becomes a bit strange. We received a bit of new money, then we asked to cut money. We received 22 million rands, and then we cut 19 million rands. Wow. So essentially, we received 2 million rands. Wow. That's what it means, but that's how Treasury works in things. The cuts, that is the 2 and 3% that we spoke about. We have cut this financial year, we're cutting 19.5, next financial year is 19.9, and then the outer year is 21.1 million rands. On additions, once again, you see 15 and 15, 16 big additions. That's the library grant. And how did we weigh the distribution of the additions? Some of the money went towards the improvement of conditions of service, and that's the salary negotiations. Some of the money went towards the improvement of conditions of our public entities. I must mention on this one, Chair, that there is a matter which we need to address with Treasury. You would recall that some of our entities, particularly the small, in fact, not even just the small entities, most of our entities have a problem. The commitment towards the medical cost, the retirement cost of their employees. What happened in the past is that most of our entities, And this dates back to pre-1994. Most of our institutions have medical aid that cover the employees beyond their retirement. Now, that becomes an obligation on the finances of the institution. If you look at most of our institutions, because of that one obligation, they are technically bankrupt, because they've got to provide for this obligation which they are carrying. And they will carry that until all the people that are covered with that have passed on. There is no way that they can get out of that because of the sunset clause that existed at that time. Now, obviously, it's an undesirable situation. We cannot do anything about it legally. The only way that we can cover ourselves without the selling compliance of the financials of our institution is that we ask Treasury to provide a guarantee for that. Most of that money will never be called in huge sums because it's covering medical expenses, which are gradual small funds, but they do add up over a period of time. That's what we still need to work out, and that impacts the improvement of service for our public. most of this money goes as technical assistance. It goes to two things. One is technical assistance, which is provided for the nation and for the libraries across the country by the National Library. And a bit of it is capacity for us to manage the grant nationally. And the adjustment to the conditional grant, substantial amounts over the next 2 years. There's a bit of, there's an African Nations Championship which is happening next year. We have received a bit of money for the cultural program related to that. And that's similar to the a bit of money that we received for AFCON in the last financial year. We are providing for specific cultural programs in relation to the African National Championships. And how have we distributed the cards? Most of our cards have come from our administration, as I explained earlier on. We've tried to spread up our cards across all our programs. The only institutions that have been affected by this is the KZN Playhouse, because they deferred some savings, the National Arts Council and the National Heritage Council. But even those, you notice that the amounts, we've tried to keep them very small, so that we do not affect service delivery. The rest of our institutions, and Robben Island as well, but the rest of our institutions have not experienced any cuts. We have absorbed those on their behalf. Some of the earmarked and reference funds, the library grant, obviously, the portion that goes to the National Library, as well as the technical support, PANSAL, the capital works, the LFBF, which is the development of local film industry. This is separate. What we did share with the National Treasury is to put a limit on what our funding institutions can spend on their operations. If you look at most of our legislation, for funding institutions, it says that you can only spend up to 25% of your budget for operations. The rest of the money should go to the industry, should go to funding sector sector activities. And the money that we have here is the development of the local film industry. That's the money that goes into the sector. It doesn't include the funding, the operations of the NFPF. There is the bursary for heritage professionals, and there is MGE for strategic projects. And then the budget across the different provinces, because program one, that's where all of our compensation budget sits. Goods and services for program one started 15 million and grew to 65 million. Office accommodation, which is also goods and services, that's our rent and maintenance and so on and so forth. And capital assets, that's our IT. Program two, that's where a lot of the money that supports our entities, our performing arts institutions, as well as the NAC city, and some of the non-profit institutions, including BASA and a couple of others. That's their budget over the MTF. You notice here that compensation of employees, once again, extremely limited throughout our programs. We will continue to engage Treasury on this, because in order for us to continue developing on all of these things with a growing budget, you can't grow a budget and grow delivery if you cannot grow capacity to do it. We have had this discussion in the committee that yes, our budget is growing, certain parts are growing faster than others, but if we're going to deliver those things, we've got to have a bit more capacity to do that, particularly because Limited, Goodwill Service Limited, most of the money goes to MGE, which is program funding, and a little bit of household money for projects as well. Program 4, and specifically international relations, most of their money is in Goodwill Services, and that is the money that we use to do international cooperation to manage our cultural agreements with various countries, as well as to open up new markets for our artists. A lot of the things that we're talking about the citizens and cultural diplomacy comes from this particular program. Program 5, this is where our heritage institutions are and the management of heritage. You can see agency and accounts, that's where most of the funding for is. That's both for operations as well as for infrastructure for heritage institutions. A little bit of project funding for households. You notice, Chair, a big area of concern. If you look at goods and services in this particular program, that is where we fund all our national events. National events are funded from this project, from this program, and we are concerned that it is not. We haven't been able to attract more funding for it. We have never done Human Rights Day before. We've never done Women's Day before. We've never done Youth Day. Those have always been done by other departments. They've now been transferred to us. Yet we have not received the funding for them. We are engaging with Treasury. What we did for Human Rights Day this year, Human Rights Day used to be with the Department of Justice. So we entered into an agreement where we co-funded it with the Department of Justice. Fortunately, they were very cooperative and they made funding some funding for it. We had to top up some of that funding, but at least there was good cooperation, which is why it was the success that it was. But it is an area of concern when it comes to this program. And program 6, which includes archives as well as libraries, the goods and services, a limited budget, most of the budget is sitting with the library grant, and there is some money which is subsidy to public entities, which includes the National Library, the Blind SA as a non-profit institution, and the South African Library for the Blind is included under subsidies to public entities, and very limited household project funding. And the allocation of our public entities, I'm really going to run to this. These are performing arts institutions, the theaters, or playhouses, there's a bit of funding that goes into this institution. The smallest one being Windy Brown, because it's a small theater. The others are a lot larger. I must say, Chair, that this excludes the money for infrastructure for these institutions. This is just money for their programs and their operations. State Theater, well, Artscape gets most of that money, followed by the State Theater, Playhouse, Parkoffs, as well as the Market Theater, and the last one is Willy Brown. Some of the arts institutions, VASA, gets 6.8, growing to 7.6. The NFBF, this is the subsidy, which is for 46 million, going to 51. That is the money that they use for their operations. But even within this subsidy, they don't use all of it. What the Treasury did this year is they actually issued a letter saying you can only use so much for your subsidy. We are engaging with Treasury on the NFBF because NFBF budgets of 25% of their subsidy going towards operations. Treasury gave them a bit less than that. So we have been in negotiations with Treasury to address that kind of a disparity of a National Arts Council, once again, a bit of limited funding, and we would like to grow funding to the National Arts Council because it supports so many sectors. And these are heritage institutions where the freedom, you can see the Freedom Park, quite a large budget, Izigo Museum, the rest are not smaller. The NHC is also here. Once again, this is a funding body. We would love to grow that budget over the years. And these are the rest of the heritage institutions in the SARA, which is not the SARA Museum, but it's funded within this program. This is the rest of the, this is the zone which I was talking about, large budget, because it's a flagship project. Once again, we combine a number of small institutions and hold them into one flagship program. And the National Library Blind SA, as well as the South African Library for the Blind, and eventually PANSAL, whose budget is 78 million this year, growing to 87 over the NGR. Chair, that is our APP together with our budget estimates for 2013 and 2014. And thank you very much.
I'm told it's nearly the time, so I think we'll just break for 10 minutes. That will be a short. But before we start, I'll just like to welcome on one of the to our meeting. I saw her coming in. And Honorable Farai, welcome. But I'd also like to welcome Mamsuri to our meeting. As you all know, that Mamsuri had a pregnant, the brother passed away. Mamsuri, go to Viva Ulap, it was a good time. Oh, okay. So you're in our prayers as a family, as a committee, you know, you are a family. Thank you that you are here. I mean, I thought Honorable Fanta Claus, you are going to comment that the minister is here because you've been making noise. Where is the minister? So no.
Chairperson, before you arrived, the minister was here, and I specially welcomed the minister. I was so glad to see this wonderful man.
Oh, okay. I was not here. So because he's been crying, where is this minister? So that's why I thought I should. I believe I can hear. I think it's taking a break just for 10 minutes. Go to the ladies and then.